Good morning. This is Pastor Zachary Corey from Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wahoo, Nebraska, and I welcome you to our morning devotion for this Saturday, March 28th. And this is our last day of doing some particular things in our devotion. This will be our last day of this week, reading Psalm 132 together. As well as looking at these particular parts of memory work from the Catechism, Hymn of the Week, and Verse for the Week. Starting tomorrow, we'll have a new psalm and new memory work as well. So I pray that this has been a blessing for you this week. It certainly is for me. This is essentially what I do at Matins, Monday through Thursday. And there's great benefit in using this Congregationate Prayer Sheet, especially because doing these particular things over and over again and hearing these particular passages, and whether it's the psalm or, again, the memory work, even the hymn, it becomes even more enriching the more that we repeat it, because we're supposed to be repeating it in order to think about it and to meditate upon it more deeply and for it to become even more of who we are, and then the benefits just become exponential each day as we, you know, really think about them, and again, not just say the words, as is always the case, and always the kind of the danger, especially for us as Lutherans, since we repeat these things like the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer often. The idea is not just to say them over and over again, but to meditate on them, even though sometimes we say them quickly. But regardless of that, I pray that this has been a blessing for you so far, and I plan to continue on doing this daily, and I pray that it continues to be a blessing for you. Let us begin. Excuse me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We read together Psalm 132, verses 8 through 18, and our antiphon is verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. We continue with our reading for the day, which is a continuation of the Gospel according to St. Mark. This is chapter 14, verses 1 through 11, if you'd like to follow along. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Martin Luther writes, "God certainly detests and hates sin. Yet he sets forth the promise, quote, 'He who has fallen should not despair,' unquote. He does not give orders to commit sin. He forbids it. But after sin has been committed, and the law accuses and terrifies the conscience so that sin becomes, quote, 'sinful beyond measure,' unquote, as Romans 7:13 says, then he does not want death to reign. As the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 18:23, testifies, 'I do not want the death of the sinner, but that he should be converted and live.' Just as God abominates sin, so he does not want the man who has fallen to remain in sin when it lives and wounds and torments the conscience through the law. But he gives a promise and a remedy by which the wounded heart is kept unharmed, lest it despair. The Pharisee cannot lay claim to salvation because of his presumptuousness, nor can David or the robber lay claim to destruction because of his despair. But one should take the royal road, and sin should be shunned. For although God has promised pardon, as Augustine says, yet he does not promise that you will be sure to return after a fall. Thus Saul and Judas do not return." That is King Saul and Judas Iscariot from our reading today. Luther continues, "It is not in our power to take hold of grace. Nor do you know whether you are able to accept the remission that is offered. Therefore, one should fear God. He hates both presumption and despair. Just as I do not want a sinner," he says, "so I do not want the death of a sinner. But if you have been driven to sin by the wickedness of the devil, and if the law condemns you and the devil hurls his flaming darts at you and tries to drive you into hell, I do not want you to die or to despair. No, I want you to flee for refuge to Christ the Savior, who does not want the death of a sinner, just as he does not want a sinner either." Here ends Luther. On that last part, excuse me, on that last part, I just want to clarify. Luther here is kind of paraphrasing God, and he says that that Christ does not want the death of a sinner, just as he does not want a sinner either. I immediately thought of, when reading this, how Christ actually says, "I came not for the righteous, but for sinners." So what Luther says here seems to contradict what Christ himself says, but what Luther is referring to is not the same as what Christ is referring to. When Christ says that he came not for the righteous, he's talking about the Pharisees as an example, those who are presumptuous and those who think that they merit God's favor or that they appease God, just as Cain with his sacrifice sought to appease God compared to his brother Abel, who sacrificed the first fruits of his flock out of trust in God's promises and knowing that everything that he had was from God. Abel gave his offering out of faith. Cain gave his offering in order to merit God's favor. Abel knew that he had God's favor. So Christ comes not for the righteous, those who are seeking to merit God's favor, but rather he comes for sinners, but he doesn't come for sinners in order that they would remain sinners, right? He comes for sinners in order that we would be converted and live, in order that we would repent. Thus, it's a common Lutheran phrase to say that, a common Christian phrase, because it comes from Scripture, that the life of the child of God is a life of repentance. In fact, this is the first of Luther's 95 theses that he posted in Wittenberg in 1517, that when Christ said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he meant that we would repent every day, that that would be the way of life for the Christian. And so it is. Christ doesn't want a sinner. He wants to take a sinner. He wants to take we who are dead in our trespasses and sins and give us life. He wants to make us alive. And so just a few days ago, we even read Luther talking about baptism and how, and this is what our catechism affirms, that baptism is a daily drowning of the old Adam. That's why we ought to wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross in remembrance of our baptism, and begin our day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is the name that was put on us in our baptism, so that each and every day we wake up starting our day, drowning the old Adam by remembering what God has done in our lives, that he's reached into our lives and he has taken us out of the kingdom of the devil and into his kingdom. And so also, whenever we sin, we are to repent. We are to forsake our attempts at returning to the devil's kingdom and return back to the Lord's kingdom, which is our true home as Christians. Because we are baptized children of God, that is where we belong based on God's work in our lives. So I hope that makes clear what Luther says and what he refers to, and then even what Christ refers to. Let us now continue with our memory work, which is located on the last page of the Congregation at Prayer. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Who receives this sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, "Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words "for you" require all hearts to believe. Let us now read together the hymn of the week, Jesus' Priceless Treasure. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee. In thine arms I rest me, foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Our verse for the week. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, look down from heaven. Behold, visit and relieve your servants who stand in need of our prayers. Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend President Matthew Harrison, the Reverend President Richard Snow, our Concordia seminaries, colleges, and schools, and our sister churches, the United States of America, President Donald Trump, Governor Pete Ricketts. And of our own, we pray for Sarah, Gloria, Lee and Sandra, John and Addie, Judy, Bernice, Marge, Velva, Elaine, Gail, Lavona, Catherine, Lauren, Valerie, Jacob, and myself. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Grant them comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend them from all danger and keep them in perpetual peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God's blessings on your day.